Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Job once again. The book of Job, as we continue to go through this study, we're going to go through these first five verses again. And the way it's going, we'll probably be doing this till the end of the year. You know, that's just kind of how it works. I kind of forgot. I think there's like 42 chapters. So we'll be here till, 2035, I think, something like that. But take your Bibles, and if you would, please stand. Let's read out loud together these first five verses. And because I'm tired of hearing my own voice, I want to hear your voices. So let's read together, beginning in verse 1 of Job chapter 1, just the first five verses together tonight. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 500 yoke of oxen and 500 she-asses and a very great household, so that this man was the greatest of all the men of the east. And his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them, and rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, "It may be that my sons have sinned, and cursed in their hearts." Thus did Job continually. So we've been looking at Job, and we've been looking at his life, and we've gone through the introduction. Last week we went through the word perfect. Okay, so I'm not going to re-preach those, but I told you last week that the word perfect and the word upright, this next word, were very close or very similar. The word perfect simply means to be complete. Or to be, let me go back to my definition here, to be complete, to be undefiled. And the dictionary even includes the word upright with the word perfect as kind of a definition. So if you use a word to define another word, they're compatible, all right? They're not quite synonyms, but they can be used together. By the way, in our scriptures, they're linked together with a conjunction. Okay, so he was perfect and upright. That doesn't make sense, okay? So they go together. So if you're going to be complete and undefiled before God, you might as well be straight too. Okay? Because they go together. And so we need to understand that this word upright is really kind of a simple word. It just simply means straight. All right. In the New Testament, this word is only used in its forms. Uprightness, upright, etc. 95 times in our scriptures. Only twice is it used in the New Testament. And one time is when Jesus is healing someone. He tells him to get up upright. Okay. So he's supposed to stand up straight. All right. That's literally what the word means there. That he was using it. The other one we'll look at the end of this service tonight in Galatians chapter 2. But that's the more spiritual aspect of the word upright. Okay? And so in a spiritual way, upright just means pleased, well right. It means just. It means meet. It means that we are, if you will, correct with our dealings and affairs with God. We're upright. Okay? Now, in our Bibles, in the Old Testament, there are many examples, and we're going to look at several through Psalms and Proverbs. But there are, if you go through and you study, which I encourage you to do this sometime, go through and read 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Very interesting history to read through. Okay? Those are historical books of the Bible. And you're going to see how the Bible defines, and by the way, that's where a lot of the word upright is listed, in uprightness, etc., uprightly, whatever, in our scriptures throughout those books of the Bible, but also in Psalms with David, okay, and Proverbs with Solomon. So we're talking about these kings, right? And this word upright or being straight with God is being used. So if we think about this with Job, and he was listed as perfect and upright. In other words, he dealt with God the way God wants to be dealt with. Okay, that's what upright means. So how does God want to be dealt with? Uprightly, right? Okay. Yeah. Duh. All right. Now let's do some other words. How about justly? Huh? Yes. How about perfectly? He wants us to be complete in our relationship with him. Hey, God wants us to be upright. And so we've got to get this thing figured out. Because look, we need to, as a complete being, body, soul, and spirit, be upright. You know, there are verses in the Bible that talk about us being upright in our hearts. Being upright in our spirit, but also being upright in our conversation or our manner, which is our outward appearance, which is our body. Okay? We need to be upright. Folks, Noah was listed as perfect, right? He was upright as well. There was a bunch of physical things going on in his world that were bad, and he wasn't a part of it. Folks, in our world today, we need to keep our bodies pure and clean. We don't need to be involved with some of the things that are out there in the world. It's just a fact. Okay? And so we need to deal with God uprightly. So as we look at this word upright, as we look at these things today, we're going to look at several of these things, but we're going to look through some of the Psalms and the Proverbs. Obviously, I don't have time to get through all 95 of these, and we're not going to, so don't worry, all right? So you can go look through them all. It's really easy to find. Just put in the word upright, and it'll just fling up all the different verses, okay? But look through them. Some of them have to do with just, you know, like I said, standing up straight. But most of them have to do with the spiritual condition, which is what we need to focus on. Because I don't think that God was saying that Job was complete and he was straight. You know, he had good posture. Right? Okay? Now, good posture is good, but that's not a godly quality, okay? Necessarily. I don't know. Should we make it a godly quality? I don't know. Okay. You know, kids walking all slumped over. All right. Now, upright is what we need to focus on. So take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 125, if you would, please. Psalm 125. And we're just gonna look at a few of these tonight. We're not gonna take a lot of time because I think you get the idea. But the mindset that we need to get through our heads is to be straight with God. Okay? Because guess what? God is as straight as they come. He's like the mold, right? The definition of it. That's what we've got to focus on. So look at Psalm 125. It says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abideth forever." So what's he talking about? A relationship, right? They that trust in the Lord, he says, they're not going to be removed. They're going to abide forever. That's a good start, right? So he goes on, he says, "As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever." So again, now we're getting into the character of God, right? How is God dealing with his people? He's dealing well with them, right? He's with them. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so is the Lord round about his people from henceforth, even forever. That's pretty good. It says, "For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity." Okay, so God, or the psalmist is talking about the wicked and the good, right? The wicked and the righteous, and that dynamic. By the way, Are we with and amongst the wicked? They're all about us, right? And by the way, if you will, the rod of the wicked, that kind of talks about leadership, right? Or rulership, right? Someone over someone else. It says here, for the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. So he says that's not a good thing, because eventually what's going to happen? The righteous are going to falter. Okay? By the way, that's a good start to help kids, young people understand that you're probably not going to influence your friends. Your friends are probably going to influence you. You know, because what do they say? Well, I can change that kid, right? Probably not, right? Now, you have to witness to them, you have to pray for them and all those things, but listen, if you start rubbing elbows with them, or if I guess the old saying is, right, if you lie down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas, right? Okay, that's what's going to happen. So we need to make sure we're not being influenced by these people. So, but it goes on here. He says this. Look at verse 4. He says, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. So verse 3, he says, look, this is a fact of life. If the rod of the wicked is upon the righteous are going to turn their hands to iniquity. He says, God, don't let it be like that. God, do good and be good to them that be good. He says, to them that are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them forth with the workers of iniquity, but peace shall be upon Israel. So he uses that word crooked, right? So he says the ones that are crooked, they're going to get what's due them. But those that are straight, God be good to them, to the ones that are upright in their hearts. Now, a few weeks ago, we talked about heart prayer. And what was the heart? The heart is not the muscle that beats in our chest, right? The heart is the seat of the rulership in our lives. So guess where we're supposed to be straight with God? In our heart. Right here. Because you know what? For you and I, dear people, all things kind of begin there for us, don't they? The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Okay? He's crooked already. Crooked with his dealings with God. He says, God, you don't matter. You don't exist, right? The wicked in his heart doesn't acknowledge God. So guess what we need to do? If we're going to be upright in our heart, we have to not only acknowledge God, but we have to be straight with him in our dealings with him. We need to be upright in heart. Just flip over a few Psalms to Psalm 140. Look at verse 13. He says, surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. So, where do the upright dwell with God? In his presence, right? So what does that mean? If the upright will dwell in the presence of God, where do those who are not upright dwell? Not in the presence of God. Okay? Now, you see, you're just using an opposite, you know, reasoning to define that. Okay? If you want to, you can go to 1 John chapter 1, and you can realize that if we say we walk in the light and we have darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Because he's light. And folks, we've got to understand that we, in order to be in his presence, we've got to be upright. We've got to be straight with God. And by the way, doesn't it say if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness? What does that mean? That means we're straight with God, right? What is he saying? You lie and do not the truth. And if you do this, if you say you haven't sinned, you make him a liar, right? And his word is not in you. You understand that that's dealing straight or not straight with God in his presence. What have we been talking about with prayer? We're entering into the throne room of God, right? If I'm not going to deal straight with God, what's that going to be like? It's not going to be good. Okay? So we need to make sure that we are upright in our dealings with God. Just keep flipping, because we're just going to the right here. Flipping to the right, I guess. Proverbs chapter 2. Okay, Proverbs 2. Now Solomon, going along and saying this, for the upright, and look at verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. So what was Job? A perfect and upright man. Okay? By the way, if you go back and you look at what he's talking about the life, right? And in verse 19, he says, none that go in unto her turn again, neither take hold, they hold of the paths of life. He says, because he's talking about this person who's leading people away. Look at verse 15. Whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. They're not upright. They're not straight. They're crooked. And so this person, this evil man, and this woman which flattereth this with her words, this strange woman, they're leading people astray. He says in verse 21, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. So what do we need to be? Perfect and upright. We need to be straight, not following the paths of these seducers. Hey, there are people, remember 2 Peter, there are false teachers, there are mockers, there are seducers, there are people that are trying to lead people astray with enticing words. The stranger which flattereth with her words. The evil man that speaketh froward things. They're trying to lead you down the crooked path. And folks, we've got to realize these things and stay upright or straight with God. Let me just read a few of these now to you, because we're running out of time. But in Proverbs 10, he says, the way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Did you notice there the careful wording? The way of the Lord is what? Strength to the upright. So why would God's path be strength to the upright? Because it's the straight path. It's supporting it, right? And then he makes the statement in the comment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. Why? Because they're not dealing straight with God. They're not upright with God. They're on the crooked path. And that leads to destruction. In Proverbs 11, Solomon writes, it says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them, but perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. So not only is a person upright in their heart and they're straight in their dealings with God, but they have integrity. Integrity. Hey, what's an important quality, business workers, business leaders? Integrity. Right? Your employees may not have the best abilities or the best IQs and all those types of things, but if they're a hard worker and they have character and they have integrity, they're probably going to turn out okay. Because what's hard to find these days? Good workers. You know what workers? I've seen them. I want to just go yell at them. They're on the clock, standing in the aisle at Walmart, doing this. And I'm like, don't you work here? They're paying you. Or one guy, it was amazing. So he's got his earbud in his ear, right? And he's a foreign person. And he's got his phone in this hand, and he's talking to someone while he's looking at the shelves. And it's like a personal conversation. It's not like he's not talking to his boss. That, really? A friend of mine told me that a person that they had hired, they were supposed to be doing one job, and there wasn't anything to do in that particular actual thing, and so they were just kind of, you know, sitting around waiting for something else to do, you know, in their job, and they were just doing this. And he walked by and he told them to do something else, and they just looked up at him and said, "That's not my job." Now you don't have a job at all. Man, when I was employed as a young person, if I was done with one task, I found another task to do. And I actually worked until I punched that little thingy in and out. You know, once it punched in, you worked. And so I was a waiter at a Pizza Hut when they were sit-down restaurants. Okay? And so my job was a waiter. But if I didn't have any tables to wait on, guess what I was doing? Cleaning. Okay? We would clean this. We would clean. Listen, I cleaned the whole restaurant upside down. I mean, I'm sure. We would clean in the cooler. We would clean in the freezer. We would clean. I mean, we even had little brushes, and we were scrubbing the little corner crevices of the walls. And I mean, there's a clean. You could have eaten off the floor at that place. That's how my manager was. She directed us that way. And, you know, but we're always doing something. Why? Because it's right. To have integrity with God. Think about this. What does it mean to have integrity with God? How about this? It's really easy. He's right, I'm wrong. That's a good way to think of it. Because you know what? God in His Word can hold us to a better standard. Because it is the standard. And you know what? It's not what I think, or it's not what I reason. It's what God's Word says. And I just gotta get honest. I'm a sinner. I need the Word of God to guide me. Because if I'm left to myself, what am I gonna do? I'm gonna sin. And I've got to maintain my integrity because of my relationship with God. Job, it tells us later on in these scriptures that he retained his integrity. Because he was perfect and upright before God. Okay, one more. Go to Galatians 2. I promise you we get there. Okay? Galatians 2. I could read several more, but go to Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 2. Because this is the only time in the New Testament that this word is used, not meaning stand up straight. Okay? Look at verse 14. This is in a conversation, one of my favorite passages of Scripture, where Paul and Peter have a little argument. Okay? What's it about? Well, let's listen in. Okay? In verse 14 he says, "But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" So they're having this problem, right? And Peter, he was eating with all the Gentiles. And then when the folks from Jerusalem came, he's like, "Oh, let me put my bacon down and get over here and have a piece of chicken." Okay? Paul said to Peter, "Hey, that's not right. You're not walking uprightly. And you know what, folks? We need to realize that we should just be upright all the time. You know, what Paul was chastising Peter for was a double standard. You know what? There shouldn't be a double standard with us. If we want to have integrity before God, why don't we just be the same when we're at home, when we're on our job, when we're out in public, and when we're at church? There shouldn't be a difference. To me, that's walking uprightly before God. Because you know what? I am who I am, and I is who I is, and I be who I be, right? Because if I live a different way in a different place, is that upright? Don't think so. Because Peter was being chastised for it. Paul said, hey, you shouldn't do this. And you understand that the way we live our lives before men is important. Now, I'm not for lifestyle evangelism. Please don't mistake that. But I am for living a life. The life. We're supposed to be who we are in Christ Jesus. Everywhere we go. At home, at work, at play, in all aspects of our lives. And really, that's the way we can walk uprightly the best. If we want to be complete, and if we want to be straight with God, because God's straight with us, we need to walk uprightly in all areas of our life. Dwelling in the presence of God, having that upright heart and that upright spirit, so that we can have the blessings of God on our life. In Proverbs 11, Solomon says, they that are of a froward heart are an abomination to the Lord. But such as are upright in their way are His delight. You want to delight God? Be upright.